Hi, it's Joan Ross.
Hi, this is Carol Phillips.
Hi, Carol Phillips. How are you?
Good. How are you?
All right. I have no idea who's joining in today, so we'll all announce ourselves.
Do you know how many people accepted or asked for the invite?
We was over 20.
Oh, all right.
And there may be 30. I don't know. Yeah. You know, how many ask and how many show up is another story.
I know, exactly. I know. Sometimes
Hi,
you forget.
Hi, O'Rourke. I just checked in.
Hi. I beg your pardon? We were talking?
It's Jennifer O'Rourke, just checking in.
Okay. Hi, Jennifer. Joan Ross.
Hi.
This is Bob Lee.
Bob Lee. Hi, Bob.
Right.
Joan Ross.
Hello. Good afternoon. This is Sally Herring.
Hi, Sally. Joan Ross.
Hello.
And we're just all starting to wander in.
Hi, I'm Sharon Wolf.
Oh, hi, Sharon. Made our speaker for tonight.
How are you?
That's right.
Good. Okay, Sharon, we have so far Carol Phillips, Jennifer Orwood, if I'm saying your name wrong, please. Bob Lee and Sally Herring.
And Jennifer, Bob, Sally, and I missed the first one.
Carol?
Carol. Thank you. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Sharon.
Linda Fraser is here.
Hi, Linda. Joan Ross, and we have the speaker, Sharon Wolf, on the phone.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you.
Jim Griffin's joining. Thank you for inviting me, Sharon.
Hey, Jim.
Hi, Jim. Joan Ross. I get to host the call. Introduce Sharon. She does the hard work.
Nicole Burkow.
Nicole?
Yeah.
Okay. Burkow?
Burkow.
Okay. Great. Welcome. We'll wait, we're going to wait about four or five more minutes just to give people time to dial in. But we have about 7 people plus our speaker today.
That means a tip for each one of us, right, Sharon?
Absolutely. Does everybody have a handout?
Yes.
Good.
Yep.
Oh, I don't.
Oh, you don't?
Who doesn't?
No, I got it in your email.
Okay.
Let me go through my email. In Ava's email.
And if you didn't get it, you can email me, Carol. That's Carol,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can send it to you.
Good ear, Joan. I can't do that.
Well, no, I know Carol.
Oh, okay, you know the voice.
So, believe me, the rest of the people, if I don't know them, I don't know their voices. Carol and I used to work together, I don't know how many years ago.
I know.
I've been a photographer for, what, 4 or 5 years, so it's longer than that.
Yes, exactly. And I do have it. I found the email, so it's up and running right now.
Beautiful. Joan, I like the email you sent out today with your product.
Oh, thank you.
Very nice.
Yeah, it was fun doing it.
Now, Jim, is that the Jim that used to work in Hudson?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, this is going to be good.
Yeah,
yeah, I remember. I know that name.
Who's speaking?
It's Jen O'Rourke.
Hello.
I used to work for Frank Ness.
Oh, okay.
Jennifer's from the FTP program.
Mm-hmm.
And she's great.
Most days.
Most days. But no, the only days I've ever known you, and you've been great.
I remember Jim. He was one of your right-hand guys.
I learned a lot from Dr. Wolf.
Hey, Jen, did you say you were with the SAP program?
FTP.
Oh, okay. STP. Okay, I got it.
Yes, financial development program.
Yes, I understand. Yes.
But I was part of the SAP implementation, but that was much more painful.
I started that implementation at Digital.
Is that right? Oh, my goodness.
I did. I was the first program manager there. And then Piscatori, whatever his name was, came in, and he wanted to take it all over, and they shut us down. So I went to work for SAP.
Well, there you go.
Let's see. Mia, what was Mia's last name? went to work for them as well, I thought, as a consultant.
Implementer.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a lot of folks that, had a great time. It was a great ride.
We just know she showed up with a new car, like 2 months after she started, and said she bought it with cash. We said, obviously.
Yeah.
So stupid, I just stayed with digital through Compaq. Oh, my God.
Well, hey, I stayed through HP.
Oh, there you go.
So.
Yeah.
And some people are still there with HP.
Some of us, tomorrow's our last day.
Oh, really?
Really?
Is that you, Bob?
No, it's Terry Hendricks.
Oh, Terry. Okay, you're a new one. Hi.
You got cut or what?
Yep.
How many do you know?
Oh, I don't know. I know in the organization that I worked for, they did 11 out of about 40.
Mm. So they have to have room for the Palm people, huh?
And the 3Com.
Facilities again, so they're going to close Marlboro, which is going to devastate this area.
Yeah, I know.
Ouch, they're closing Marlboro?
Yeah. Didn't hear that.
And they're trying to stuff everybody into Andover, which their real plan is send everybody home or as much as possible.
Were you in services or product?
Services.
Mm.
But it's
tough. Right.
Hey, 31 quick years. Actually, I'll be 9 days short of 33 years.
Wow.
Wow.
You should be very grateful.
Yep. And well, I'll actually be retired. On the books, I'll have the digital healthcare plan, which is good.
Good for you. Good for you.
So, yeah, it's not terrible.
Right.
Good.
Now I just have to figure out what I want to do when I grow up.
Yeah, you had a really long run. Wow, that's great. Good.
Yeah.
Well, we should probably get started. Anybody else join us that didn't announce themselves? Okay, so we've got 8 people, and I'm Joan Ross, and I'm just the one at the DeckConnect that helped coordinate this meeting. And Sharon Wolf is our speaker for tonight. I think you've all seen her bio, but I'll read it again. And for the past 25 years, Sharon has been a senior high technology executive and college professor, author, educational, organizational vice president, board member, angel investor, and management consultant. I may give you some ideas, Terry. May not. In 1992, she founded Enterprise Systems, a business and organizational development firm in Framingham, and which does coaching, public workshops, in-house corporate professional development training programs. So Sharon today is going to be speaking to us about 7 tips for powerful networking. Each one of you should have gotten the handout. If you haven't, speak up and I'll forward it to you now. And I'm just going to turn the table over to Sharon and let her get started.
Thank you.
She can talk more about herself.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I would invite anyone to interrupt me, ask any questions, give me any suggestions as we go through this information. So if we can make this as interactive and exciting as we can do, that would be wonderful. When I started to put together this material, I have a cold, so I sound horrible, but as I apologize, but when I started putting together this material, I started to think about networking in my own life, and I pulled together 3 examples of personal networking and 3 examples of professional networking, or rather 3 that matter in my personal life and 3 items that show that I networked in my business life. And I figured I'd share some of these with you. Many people think networking is very structured. If you're an introvert, it's hard to do. If you're an extrovert, you can waste your time because you have fun rather than being focused on what the outcome might be. But my most exciting that I have many of them, but one that I put at the top of the list as the most exciting, was finding a niche. And my niche was loving BMWs. And I networked to a group, and the group was the BMW Club. And they sent me an email in 2003, and the email was, could I send in $25 to help teenagers learn how to drive safely? And I thought, wow, I remember having a couple of bad accidents when I was a teenager that if only I knew how to handle the car, I could have avoided. And so I sent him the $25 to this email that came to me, and I see that as networking. And it was part of the group I hung out with, so I sort of knew them, but not. I didn't know who sent me the email. And the bottom line was, from that $25 that I sent in, it was a chance to win a BMW, and I won a BMW. I won it.
Wow.
So I ended up with a BMW in racing school, and I didn't take. I took the cash instead of taking the car in the racing school. But it was, again, it came from that networking, and it was the being open-minded. And I laugh now and think, what was I doing sending a $25 check to a P.O. box from an email? And if I think about the tools, some people sent in questions to me, and they said, tell me about social networking. Whether it's the telephone or your neighbor next door or BMW Club or now LinkedIn with, 12 million members, it is all about just keeping information going back and forth through people and having that open mind. And you really don't know where it's going to lead, but you can see the networking, whether it be your perfect job or within a corporate environment or, owning your own business or through your life. Which becomes another interesting example for me of the networking was when my mom passed away. Somebody wrote on the obituary page, on the online obituary page, I'm so sorry, but we may be related. And I thought that was interesting that she wrote we may be related. And so I wrote back later and called her up and followed up with an email and a phone call and asked her what that was all about. And it turned out that we shared the same grandmother. And she had been my boss when I was working as a college intern. And we never knew that we shared any relatives. I met her, and then she met her for lunch, and she gave me a very large notebook filled with birth certificates and death certificates going back to 1805 for that part of my family. So if I had not had online and not had that death announcement and not had if I had not followed up with her, I would have missed an opportunity. And it's been very fascinating to now be able to travel to Ireland and see where these birth certificates, death certificates came from. And it enriched me in a different way through that, again, ongoing communication. The other interesting thing is that you start to see, for me, I start to see widening your circle. And that's my third and my last personal example that I'll give you before I get into my structure. But the third example, and I know two of you know me, so you probably know the story. And it took me a long time to talk about this one publicly. But when I was working at Digital, I was very lonely, and for many reasons. And so what I ended up, because I worked all the time, what I ended up doing was networking, doing my own social networking. I ran an ad, and I ran an ad looking for the Renaissance Man. And I guess that was a good sales come on, because I got 52 responses, and one response was my husband, and my current husband, I should say, or my husband for almost 27 years. So networking, again, is how do you expand what your circle happens to be so that you give yourself different opportunities. I've been asked to go into companies, large companies, and work with their managers to teach them how to network. There's a local bank, a local branch of a large bank, who said, we're sending people out into the community, but they don't know how to network. So what is the structure that we can actually give people so that when they go into a situation, they're not just there to eat the mystery turkey, the mystery chicken. They're there to come back with two or three sales leads and then turn those leads into revenue for the organization. And I was very amazed when I went into my first presentation, and the people had senior level, middle level positions, and they sat in their seats and they didn't really talk with each other, and they didn't look like they cared. So part of being a good networker is maybe moving out of your comfort zone and moving into being aware of opportunities and then giving a helpful attitude to others. Is everybody still there, or did everybody leave me?
We're here.
Oh, good. Okay.
I'm typing, but you won't hear that.
Here. Oh, okay.
All good.
Okay. The thing is that I find that a lot of people will say, I want to be a networker. What's in it for me? And if you're a person who you're open-minded and you enjoy basically creating a relationship or creating value or being helpful for other people and are willing to maybe make mistakes, maybe you put your foot in your mouth, but it's okay, you just move forward, then you'll be good at networking. And I find that, as I said earlier, people who are introverts sometimes find it difficult to get out of their chair, to if they're in a meeting, to meet strange people or new people. They sometimes find it hard to even go to a social event and be part of a social group and talk. It's easier to maybe sit behind their computer or read a book or do things that they're comfortable with, their regular circle of comfort. So one is moving yourself to make yourself be willing to try new and different things. And then the second thing is, if you're an extrovert, as I said earlier, you may really need to focus your plan so that you say, what are my goals? Who do I want to meet? Maybe you just want to have fun. Yes? Maybe you just want to have fun, but one of the things that you probably want to do is say, if it's just I want to have fun, then that's your goal. But not just be open to whatever happens without stopping and looking at, well, what is it that I'm trying to accomplish? The conversation when we first started about being like a digital for deck, digital, whatever we're calling it, I always call it digital, the conversation about like being there for a while, I've had some close friends who were there for a while, and we always reflect on our career and say, maybe we stayed there too long. And I think one of the things that with networking helps you do is to look at your choices, not just to get into a corporate job and then stay there and then forget about you're part of a community, but really force yourself to network in the company to the right stakeholders, but then also to force yourself to look at networking outside the company, perhaps in the industry, and also networking so that you have your own quality of life, that you're able to participate in the participate in a community and then make the contributions in the community and just have that enrichment. Before I go through my structure of 7 tips that I would like to talk to you a little about, do you have any questions about anything I've said so far?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
No questions.
Okay. Is any of this making sense? Is any of this helpful? Is it making you think a different way? Or
keep going.
Going. It's good.
So I've given you a write-up with 7 tips, and I've been asked to do this in mentoring programs in companies, mentoring programs in MBA schools. I've also used this material for myself. And the first tip is to really craft for yourself your own professional power network. Not just that you have a collection of people that you love dearly, but get very ruthless about who's in your network. There's two kinds of people that you're looking for in your network. One are maintainers, and the other one are propellers. Both of them are important, but if you only have maintainers, you'll only be maintaining your current position. If you only have propellers, you might be missing your foundation, you might be missing the opportunity to build your foundation of what you're maintaining within your own circle right now. You can look at this professionally or personally. And when I say personally, that means that you may find that you start networking for charity events. And Terry, you were talking about tomorrow. Tomorrow is the first day of your life outside of the environment that you've been for 33 years to discover what you might want to go and do. This is just a suggestion. You may find that you want to go and do some volunteer work at different organizations. And you will be asked to use skills that you've never had the opportunity to use in a corporation. So that may be propellers. You may have a network that's a different propeller for you that you get to see people who may be role models of what you want to aspire to, or people who might teach you different things. So that's just a suggestion for you. But the two different kinds of people that you're looking for, I would tell you to look for as you structure a network. One being the maintainers, and there are 3 maintainer types. One being a cornerstone, and those are the people who help you do your day-to-day work. And one being an expert, and those are people who will tell you how to do your current job. And then there's other helpers, if you will, and those are people who help you get your job done. And what I find is so often very loyal people who might be finance people or accounting people or IS people, they stay with their network being their maintainers. And then, say, for example, an IT person may find that person is no longer needed in the organization. There might be a reduction of force, with all polite words for that they don't have a job anymore. And what they find out is that they don't have that network to help them with propellers. And in some cases, they're doing things that the company thought was important, but might be old ways of doing things and not best practices within the industry. So not saying it always happens, but I've seen it more than once. So the second grouping of your professional network are propellers. And those are people who push you into new areas. They basically get you to look at your professional growth, your development. For some people, this is very exciting. And for other people, if they have a level of diffidence or they lack confidence, this may be a bit stressful. There are five different kinds of propellers. I would tell you to get one of each one of these. I'd say like you have eight people in your network, not just one or two people. So the three from the maintainers that we talked about earlier, and now the new five to add on. Role models, and those are people who have achieved what you aspire to do. Oh, by the way, you may find that you don't really have, you'll say, I don't really have a role model. You probably do. And if you say, I still don't, then I'd say, go read some books. Go find out people who are doing things that you want to learn from. Who are those role models, and how can you be inspired to become more like them? And you may be reading books of people who are no longer physically alive. You may be reading books of people who are currently doing things in the business world or outside of the business world that you can say, here's my role model. This is how this person approaches things. The second one are mentors. And mentors to me are the most important thing. My mentors have opened up a lot of doors for me in my life. Mentors are the people who will basically provide you opportunities. They'll teach you. They'll care about you. They have resources. Resources being time, knowledge, energy. They're usually very busy, so when you're with them, you have to use their time, very efficiently. Or they won't have a lot of time for you. They'll want to have a lot of time, but they have competing interests for their time. Hubs are the third kind of propeller. And those are people who will be a hub of knowledge, if you will. They'll give you lots of information, the sources to other people, so they network you to others. And then the last two are interesting ones for me. The fourth one is the challenger, and that's the person who will basically make you look at yourself with integrity and honesty about your own direction, and then actually ask certain questions for yourself around your professional purpose and then your skill development. Most people, most of my MBA students will tell me I'm a challenger. I always thought I was a hub to them, but they told me I would challenge them to look at what is your professional purpose? Why are you doing this? What's next? This could sometimes be uncomfortable for somebody if they're used to just playing it safe and saying everything's fine and not really taking an inventory. When they get beyond that discomfort, they can sometimes find that to be very empowering to look at the fact that they do have a good sense of their professional purpose, and they have built certain skills that become transferable as they get to that next level in their professional journey. Guides are the last one, and that's a propeller in your structured network. And those are people who advise you, they encourage you to try on new opportunities, they give you clarity, and they give you comfort. Now, if I were you listening to me, I'd be thinking, oh, am I going to have this professional network for forever, you know, in perpetuity? And the answer is no. You will repot yourself as you go through the different phases of your career. People who you thought were role models, maybe people who you, after knowing them, you learn from them, and then you get to their level where you basically don't see them as a role model, but you see them as a peer, and you respect them that way. And then you may find that you become the role model for another person. I had mentors in my life who they've mentored me, and now at the stage that they are at their life, I'm mentoring them. So people who have guided me and been the people who've taught me, I've ended up being able to contribute to them at different stages within my own career and within their own career and their own life. So those are your network, and this is not counting. This is not capturing. 300 friends on Facebook and saying, oh, I have all these friends, but my car broke down and I have to call AAA. This is really looking at who's in my network in the sense of where do I go when I really want to have a mentor? Where do I go when I need a hub of information? Where do I go when I need to be challenged because I got scared or lazy or tired? So, you know, where do I go within my own structure of my network, and who are these people? And, oh, by the way, do these people know they're important to me in my network? And how do I make sure that that connection continues? And then you want to learn from your professional network. You want to ask them questions, but more importantly, you want to listen. I find that many people will ask a question, and then they never listen to the answer because they're so excited that they asked the question in such a cool way. So what you want to do is ask the question, but then really listen and try to integrate that into your own journey and learning and respect for the other person. So I've given you some example of questions. You know, one question you could ask someone in your professional network is, you know, hey, if you only had one piece of advice to someone who wanted to do what you did, what you do, what would it be? And then if you had your career to start over again, that little word if, what would you do in a different way? And why would that be important? Why would you think that's a good thing to do? So learn from your network, but let your network know that you value them and that you appreciate them. One of the things I find as an organizational development consultant, I go into companies and people are racing around so much that sometimes they use their network as a bird feeder. It's like, if I need a seed, I just go and get a seed and I have bird food, rather than looking at the network as something that has to be developed over a period of time. And it's best to develop your network during good times, meaning you don't need a job, you're clear about your professional purpose, you know, you're flush with money, life is good, you know, you're vibrant in your career. It's good to have that network while things are good, so that when you may have a rainy day or a tough economy or changes, as we're seeing in our economy, happen so rapidly over the last year and a half, that you want to be able to have that network that you can go to and call upon. I had a graduate student who was working for a very well-known company, and she came in and she said, you know, if I lose my job tomorrow, I don't have a problem because I know I can go to my network and let my network know that I don't have a job and what I want to go do, and I know my network will help me network to other people. Well, after she made that comment in class, that was on a Monday, and the following Wednesday she was let go from that company. And she wrote an email to me and said, wow, this is wonderful. I'm going to get to see if this actually plays out the way I thought it was. And within 2 weeks, she'd started her own business, and she had two clients that her network had sent to her. And that's what she's decided to do now, is stay in her own business. And it was her view was it was based on the fact that she always kept her network and didn't just look at a network as something that she needed to activate when she needed to have something for herself. I can't say too much about that, but I'll stop now. The second piece.
Can I?
Oh, please, yes.
Because I really like what you're saying. This is Linda Fraser. And I guess what I am facing is this. And I would be interested in your comments in terms of age. My mentors and my, you know, former bosses, unfortunately, have all gone to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
We believe in a heaven or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They've all gone to a better place.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I have a network of people who used to work for me. But they're, you know, frankly, I'm searching them out.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? You know, I'm gonna be, you know, very honest. I'm 61. Okay, I have a lot to offer. I have managed major programs in implementations for, you know, SAP and large organizations, you know, the likes of Coca-Cola, Halliburton, General Motors, you know.
Mm-hmm, very impressive. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I went to work for one of the top high-tech companies. And IBM, and I was last in, first out, and I worked for them for 18 months, and I'm now looking, I'm trying to you know, build on a network, but my mentors and my colleagues are all gone.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to somebody who's 61, who's like got energy beyond energy?
Well, Linda, you have great background. You have great experience. The average lifespan for a female right now is 87.
Yeah.
So you still have time in front of you, and you need new mentors. And more importantly, you need to start being the mentee, not the mentor. You're at a different stage of your career.
I lost you there. Something before your career.
You have to. You're at a different stage at your career now
That's
than you've
right,
ever been.
That's right, and I'm struggling with that.
And so that means that now you have to start looking at yourself as the mentee, not the mentor. Because 61 is very different than when
I'm
you
with
31.
You. I'm with you. And years ago, I was there
mm-hmm.
because my greatest joy in whatever organization I was working with was to see the organization successful
mm-hmm.
and to be the mentee. But I can't find a job
so
to
one
do
of the,
that in.
So one of the things that I would, and I'll talk to you, like, I'm very willing to have this conversation
with you. I don't
want to
derail this.
No. We can talk a little bit about this now, and I'd be very willing to have a longer conversation. I would tell you to first start out by looking at where you can go do some volunteer work.
Doing that.
And I would start to look at where I'm getting those skills and how I can network into my next phase of my life.
Okay.
And you probably have had the first phase in your life was learning and growing and finding out who you were and what you liked. The second phase was probably where you were helping other people, managing other people, but you were in a hierarchy where you had people in the organization telling
right.
you were doing a good job. And now you're in a situation where you might have to create something in a very different way. You may need to look at your own financial autonomy. You have incredible, what you just talked about in the sense of Coca-Cola, Halliburton, IBM, when you talked about what you did in dealing with major programs, you probably could take that and turn that into your own business. You probably could do some transferable skills. Part of your network, and part three when we get to three, is that you may find that you need to do some exploring about what's different for you because quite frankly, with your background and with your years of experience, you may find it difficult to go get the kind of job that you used to have.
I have accepted that.
And so you may have to create a whole new game of what you're playing, and it
yeah.
might be a lot more fun.
Reset but expectations and use the word fun and fun and creativity and problem solving is what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are things that I'm looking at. But yeah, okay. I didn't want to derail the conversation.
Nope, they're fine. I took
but,
notes.
But
took
you
notes
know, when you think about age and mm-hmm. you think about, frankly, the day that I was laid off at IBM. 23,000 people were laid off.
You had a lot of competition looking for the same jobs.
And of those 23,000 people, 75% to 80% were over 50.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, you know, what do you do to position yourself? And I'm prepared to work part-time, whatever, and how do you network to do that? So, I don't want to derail because I can tell you've got a good agenda. And
one of the things that I would tell you to do is start doing some exploring. You may find that you want to go and actually have a different career exposure and move to Ireland where it's a young society and you're, like, finding yourself as the manager and the mentee. If you just stay in the circle of dying Massachusetts right now, you may find that you're hunting for a job that doesn't exist.
Yeah, I've stopped looking in Mass.
And
yeah.
So the thing is that you may want to look at a career change in the sense of moving into project management education. Become the person who goes in and teaches others how to do project management. You manage projects. You know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
As for age, I have to tell everyone this. It's kind of an interesting story. I had a phone call from a woman who was on a nominating committee yesterday for a national board, and she called me and wanted to nominate me. And we had this conversation, and I was exhausted listening to her, absolutely exhausted. And I was exhausted. I mean, she had so much energy, and she was telling me all the things that she's doing and how all this works. And finally, I said, how did you get involved with this? And she said, I got laid off from my job after being there for 13 years, and I decided I needed to go off and have some fun. And this woman is 81 years old.
And
that's
what I was looking for.
Yeah, and I was exhausted, and I said, oh, my goodness. And she has no relatives. She's moved herself into a tiny condo in the middle of Manhattan. And it was just amazing to me because when I listened to her in the beginning, I had no understanding of what her age was. I just heard her spirit and her energy. And I think a lot of times what happens is it's so easy to be part of an organization and then be downsized and then fall trapped to how much that hurts. And the reality is there's no going back there, only looking forward. And I've had personal things in my own life where I have fallen victim or allowed myself to get trapped into something without moving forward. So it's the whole view of saying, hey, you know, I have so many years in front of me, this is you talking to yourself, and what is it I want to experience? What do I want to create?
Yeah.
And then where's all the different ways that I need to wiggle to move into those different ways? And, you know, that gets me into number three back on my list. I'm skipping two for a moment. But the whole view of what are your symbols of success? And number four, what are your symbols of significance? And if you build a network and you just say, I'm going to build this network, really be clear about why you're hanging out with these people and why you're actually spending time with them. Because they're people who are like birds. There are eagles, there are turkeys, there are pigeons. Sometimes I've worked in companies where I thought that I was with the eagles, and it turned out I was with the turkeys. So I've made myself sit down and really look at what are my symbols of significance. You know, not to be unkind, because everybody has been wonderful for the most part in my career. But what are my symbols of success? And are the symbols of success different now than what they were 20 years ago, 30 years ago? Absolutely. And are the symbols different after you've left a company? And then you look back and you can see a company in a different way. So the part two, number two, the last sentence that I have in there is for you, Linda, which is if you don't know what you want. Sounds like you know what you want, but if you don't know what you want, like network to discover what you might want, I would change that sentence for you, network to discover what your opportunities might be by thinking out of the box and really exploring different things that you could go off and do. Recently, my business, 2008, my business wasn't as flush and as lucrative and as productive as what I had experienced since 92. And so I did a career exposure. Somebody asked me if I wanted to join the full-time teaching staff at Worcester Polytech, and I really wanted to learn about 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds. Gen Y is a very different generation. So my symbol of significance at that point was to be able to work with Gen Y and motivate them and inspire them and get them to engage me. And it was not one of, I want more money. It was more of a different currency. It was one of, I want this career exposure at this time. And I went off, worked full-time for one academic year, and am still in touch with many of the students who were the undergraduates. I've only usually worked with undergraduates who were mature adults or graduate students. So this was a very different routine for me. But back to, you know, the whole view of exploring and networking to do something in a different way. Now, for all of us, we might find that having symbols of success is just one of the traditional trap of always looking at money, positional power, tangible assets, and just seeing those as traditional or typical symbols of success. And when you look at that number three that I gave you, I'm now on the top of the second page, and I will go back to part two, I promise. But the story that I wanted to tell you on this one was there was a person who always looked at money and positional power and tangible assets as his traditional symbols of success, and he counted his pennies, and he found out that he had a net worth of $3 million, and that wasn't enough for him. he had decided that what he wanted to do was have a net worth of $10 million. That was his goal when he came to America, and that was the goal he knew he was going to reach by the end of his 60 years. By the time he's 69, that was what he wanted to do. And he networked to people. He through the network, he purchased a technology he knew nothing about. He then networked to other people, and he created an IPO, and he ultimately sold the company to a large company. The timing was right for him because he was able to do IPOs and had angel investors. But he looked at his symbols of success as being money, and that was his motivator. So sometimes people don't talk about money. Money becomes like a dirty thing to talk about. If that's what motivates you, make it your symbol of success and then go put like your action plan behind it. The fourth one that's on the list in the sense of the structure is to identify symbols of significance. And you may find that at a certain point in your life you want to identify what really fulfills you, not what your parents told you fulfilled you or what your boss told you or your mentor or your spouse or your kids, but really to look at on what is it that you see as being symbols of significance that come from the result of your own contribution. And you may find that things such as people you interact with, the environment that you work in, the environment you live in, the location that you're in, the way you're recognized by others, that might be things that are significant to you. So what I would tell you in this whole view of looking at like your own networking is to really map out what it is that you want to contribute, what's significant to you, and what do you want to have this experience is. If you've worked in a large company, would you want to work in a small company? If you've worked in a company for a long time, would you want to do some freelancing? If you are used to being in an organization where it's rather paternalistic and you're taken care of, meaning that every Thursday you get a paycheck whether the company makes money or not, would you want to try to do something a little bit different, like create your own revenue or maybe go into sales? There's always a need for a salesperson. So what would you do to create that level of significance for yourself? And I gave you an example of one manager who had recognized, they wanted to be recognized as the best negotiator. He wanted to be the best negotiator in his profession. And no amount of money or power could like make him feel as good as being the best negotiator. So he looked at that as a symbol of significance. He started out by looking at negotiation books. He said, then he went off and interviewed people who were good negotiators in his industry and outside of his industry. He cold called people and said, you know, can you tell me what made you such a great negotiator in, and he had read about them so he would know what industry they were in or what deal they had actually negotiated. And that became his point of a symbol of significance. And the motivation was not saying, I'm doing this because somebody is telling me to do this, but rather, I'm doing this because this is important to me and I want to know this. So I said I'd go back to number two, so let's go back to two for one moment. I use the second approach, the second tip of setting up a board of advisors. I use this to start my own business. I've used this to decide not to work with certain clients, and I've also used this as a way of doing problem solving. And that is like creating a board of advisors consisting of three individuals. Think of three legs on a stool. If you only have two, the stool sort of limps a bit. But three individuals, one who would be able to give me clarity, another one who could give me comfort, and another person who would be able to give me challenge. And those three board of advisors, people on the board of advisors would be people who would just focus on me and what my business was doing. That would be the purpose of the meeting. It is the purpose of the meeting. And have that as a circle of influence. And the clarity being, sometimes it's hard to see yourself, so it's really important to have somebody who'll be brutally honest. Sometimes it's hard to move out of a comfort zone, so it's very important to have people who will say, why don't you try it this way? Or, you know, yes, you've done difficult things before, but you can do this. And then the third one, the area of challenge, instead of just getting comfortable and saying, well, it's, you know, I've done okay and life is good, look at what's that next level to reach after and to go after, and the next level of excitement, because there could be a risk. And doing the three people, having the three people, my view is to get the three people in the same room together, because what happens is they gang up on you. They don't necessarily just sit there and have, like, you're not having, like, a a one-on-one with each person, and therefore you can manage them. But rather now you have three people who are just focused on what the problem is that you're trying to solve. And it may be, I need to take the company from X number of dollars of revenue to Y, or I need to not work with this particular customer, and how do I replace revenue? Or other people have used this as a tool to be able to say, I need to leave my current job before they fire me, or I need to figure out what my next life is going to be, my third chapter or my fourth chapter, because I've done, things are different, the game has changed. So getting that network to help you, not in a conversation, but in a really focused way, that they're almost, they're doing an intervention on you to make you think like in a very different way and think in a larger way. So I have three more to go through this, and it's at 6:45. So does anybody have any other questions at this point about what I've said so far, or should I continue on 5, 6, and 7?
This is Nicole.
Sure, just one question. Was that two of us?
Yeah, there were two, but go ahead.
I heard, and this is Nicole. Hi, Nicole.
Hi. I'm going to start looking for a job, and I have all my network really probably right now is I do tremendous amount of volunteer work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really sure how to turn that to use that for looking for a job.
Do you know what kind of job you're looking for?
Well, my strengths are really in business operations.
Mm-hmm. And the volunteer work that you're doing, are there people who are within that organization? Are they people who are in the community who might be able to network you to another job? You don't know.
I don't really know because in probably the two major ones that I'm doing right now, I'm the one who's really come in and restructuring things and doing the financials.
So,
And then the prior one, I was actually on school committee for 6 years, so I have a lot of connections, I would say, within town boards and things like that, but I don't, I'm not sure how to go about using that
mm-hmm.
To my advantage.
You may find that you have an opportunity to have your own business here. You probably learn political skills. With the school committee, you probably learn political skills. You probably have a network of people who, if you were to go and do some consulting work in operations, you probably have some customers there.
And that's what I did 10 years ago, and I actually got hired by one of my clients who I've now worked for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So when you were talking, I guess the other thing you mentioned was freelancing, and I was just wondering how you go about...
Freelancing, well, the thing is, if you're in your own business, you may call it freelancing, but if you're in your own business, you're basically creating revenue. And if you're in sales, you're going after one sale at a time, and if you lose a client, then you're looking at, well, how do I get another client, or how do I constantly keep getting more clients so that I can feed the pipeline?
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm saying start your own business,
mm-hmm.
You may want to start your own business so that at some point, if you wanted to sell that business, you could sell that business to
mm-hmm.
someone else, and that becomes an opportunity for you to increase some more cash.
Okay. Thank you.
And Nicole, I'd be willing to talk to you about this afterwards because
sure.
It sounds like you're at the point where you could go back and did what you did before because you've been successful at it.
Well, I'm actually currently doing it, but it's not going. It's what I'm doing is going away. So yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Does that help?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. No, I heard another voice. Did I hear another voice?
You did. This is Bob. And just trying to clarify what you meant regarding the board of advisors is people who gang up on you. Do you really are you suggesting meeting with such people as a group?
Yeah, absolutely.
In some situations?
Absolutely. And the reason why I think that's so important, I'll tell you my own personal story. They ganged up on me and I didn't think they were going to. And wow, it was really very powerful. I had worked at Digital for a very long time, and I always wanted to go off and start my own company. I had my three board of advisor people, and I said, I'm going to use this process that was used by Rabbi Kirshner when company. And the wild thing that happened was the three people on my board of advisors I selected, one flew in from Canada, one was the director of the MIT Enterprise Forum, and the other one was a local consultant who was very, very much into doing what, very well regarded in doing what I wanted to do in my career. And it turned out that the three of them fell in love with each other, that they all hung out with each other. So not only did they talk about me when they were with me, but when they left me, they talked about how I could do these things. And they ganged up on me because they started to look at each other and say, well, how can we help her? So the day that I was going to resign from the small consulting company that I had joined to purchase that company and then decide I wanted, long story, cutting it short, the three people, they made a deal with each other. One called me at 9 o'clock to ask me if I was resigning that day. Then one called me at 9:30. Then one called me at 10. You understand what they did. And they knew what my goals were, and what they did was they got into being in collaboration with each other to help me. Now, if I had met with any one of them, given my personality, I would have had a nice conversation, and I would have just left and continued doing whatever I wanted to do and saying, like, someday I'll stop my company, someday I'll leave, someday I'll do something different. But I would have just stayed in the level of success that I was at. And and what they did was there was some synergy that they worked with each other. So and they were very kind. They weren't mean to me. When I said they were ganged up on me, they basically were very kind and they gave me a lot of suggestions. So my point is not to have one-on-one conversations, but actually create a board of advisors and say, okay, I need somebody just to play the role of comfort and somebody just to play the role of the other two C's, and then really look at problem solving. And oh, by the way, I didn't pay these people. They did travel. They incurred the travel because they liked me. They also expected me to like them. So it became like a friendship, and it became a give and take. It wasn't just one of I'm going to hire you because I was not hiring them. It was just one of, do you think that we can get together? And I needed to incur the expense of renting a room, a conference room in a hotel, because I wanted that particular setting. So I used the word ganged up, and I shouldn't have used the word ganged up because it wasn't a mean thing. It was a positive thing. So,
but it was a collaborative thing, it sounds
it's
like.
It's a collaborative thing, and it was quite. And these were my three friends, but I had no idea that they were going to be so close with each other and that they were going to enjoy each other so much, which was another interesting thing. I introduced them to new friends, which was pretty cool to do. Bob, I'd be willing to talk to you a little bit more about that. It's 6:52, and I have three more things I'd like to tell you about. So tell you a little bit about the three things. And the number five is to create your own networking action plan. And that may include social networking. It may include on-site, and it may include online. What I notice is what's happening is a lot of the professional societies are really having a thirst for people. There's a need for people to go to professional society meetings and to pass out contact cards and meet people and say hello. You may find that it's easy just to sit home and watch TV or walk the dog, but you may come up with an action plan that you say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to meet two or three people and get business cards. I'm going to share some of the information with of who I am, just as a person, and talk to people. And again, in that conversation, that constant flow of useful information, it may produce a network that opens up new opportunities for you, and you open up opportunities for them. In the sense of online networking, because some people like not online networking, I would encourage you to really measure your return on investment on online. Just like going to a professional society meeting where you take yourself someplace, I would really look at, are you spending time chatting with people and, giving them gifts and flowers and buying farms on Facebook? Is that social, fun, like recess, or is it really producing something for you? Now, LinkedIn, I like LinkedIn, and I have LinkedIn just set up for my student part of my life of teaching. And I have found that LinkedIn has got me back in touch with people that I worked with in the 1990s. Dr. Mark Vander Erf, for example, and I have stayed in touch, but now we've connected in a different way through LinkedIn. I've reconnected with angel investors I worked with in Australia in the late 90s. I thought I lost these people because they changed their life and I changed my life, and I didn't have a contact point for them. It's given me business leads. I've had some opportunities to do job interviews. It's given me some sales leads. And I've only done the LinkedIn, not as a business, but done it only as like my view of teaching college. And I've had some of my students have like written, people I've known, my students have written recommendations about me. So I would say that if you do something for business, I would encourage you to do LinkedIn, but I also would encourage you to look at the ROI of how much time you're putting into it. Facebook, when I do Facebook, I've have heavy settings on my Facebook, and my Facebook are mostly for my students and also for my political affiliation. And so I usually don't bring in business people or anybody who my settings are very tight, and I'm sure somebody could crack my settings and probably is smarter than me. But my point is that I would want you to think about your marketing image of who you are and how you're letting people know your brand image when you're using Facebook. I don't have time to go through this right now, but one of the things, and I didn't think I would, but one of the things I pulled just to mention to you is there's a list of 50, there's more than 50. On Wikipedia, there's a list of social networking websites. There's also, so if you just go to Wikipedia and put in social networking websites, you will see if you like, let me see if I can find one that I can relate to, poetry. Then you can go and find a whole network for social networking on poetry. And you may say, well, I want to be a project manager for the next poetry book. So that's one. If you go to about.com and look at web trends on a guide to social networks, you'll see the difference between Facebook versus High Five versus Fan IQ, Catster for cat people, Dogster for dog people. So you can start to look at a niche that you may go and be comfortable talking with people, and out of that may come your passion. And out of your passion may come a job. And you may have to create that. We're still a capitalistic society, so you can still figure out how to get sales and how to create the an opportunity for yourself. And the last one I want to mention online is the website is Mike's Money Making Mission. And he is a person who just looks at can you make money on the web, and he looks at networking people in business. So the networking action plan, really come up with for yourself goals for yourself of how you're going to be in touch with people, how you're going to introduce yourself, what tools are you going to use. Will it be taking yourself someplace, or will it be using online? And then number six ties right into that. Really measure your ROI and look at your own journal to see where are you on that journey and what are those dollars, because time is money, what are those dollars that you're investing in yourself? Is it the right thing? And the number seven that's on here is really mentor others and look at how you can learn from what that mentoring is and really look at the long-term informal relationships. You may meet people and just it's a hit-and-run relationship. The value of your relationship and your networking might be from building the relationship over the long term and getting to know the person as the person and having fun with that. Really enjoying what the other person is doing and then how you can contribute to that other person's success by using, like, your own capabilities. I have a story about networking that somebody mentored me in a very informal, short way, and it was a point where I went to a garden party, and my husband said, we have to go to a garden party. I was very tired. I didn't want to go. I had taught all week. I worked all week. I taught a class from 9 to 5. And I went to the garden party, and I went right to the garden, and I wanted to be alone. And this woman came over and very cheerfully introduced herself to me and asked me what I did. And I told her that I did training programs in large companies. And she said, I have a name and a phone number for you, but you can't tell them that I gave you the name and phone number because they just fired me. But they really need you. So now I had a name and phone number and a reference of somebody who had been fired. So I thought, this won't work. But I called anyway. And when I called, I found that the very first person I met on the phone number that I was given, rather, the very first person from that phone number, that person hired me, and I did had a very respectable contract, and I did a wonderful training initiative within that organization. And from that one connection, I made, I had contracts with 8 other companies, and that all came from one group, one person introducing me to the next person, to the next person. And at the end of the year when we tracked revenue, I realized that over a 2-year period, the bulk of my revenue for our company had come from that garden party where that person said, hey, here's a phone number you really need to call. Like, go visit these people. So in the sense of mentoring others, you know, create the opportunities for other people. And you may think that you may think like, well, you know, like I, you know, don't know as much or I can't do that. But you may find that you know people and that you can open doors for other people. And then it becomes an opportunity to go back and help that other person. It becomes the two-way street. And that was one of the 3 examples that I wanted to give to you about my own networking and how that helped. I've also had other points where people have called me and they've said, I have your material in front of me, and your name and your phone number. I have no idea how I got this material. And I was wondering, like, if you could come in, like, and work with us on something. So share what it is that you have, and don't be afraid to share the information without getting paid for it, because it may open the door up and then create, like, a new opportunity. So, Joan, I'm at 7 o'clock right now.
I know it's 7. They haven't cut us off, so okay. If people have questions, if they cut us off, you know what happened. But
okay. For everybody, you have my email address, I believe, on the top of that page, and it's sharonw@enters.com. And so, Linda, if you send me your email address, I will send you some information. Nicole, the same thing, and Bob, the 3 of you are the 3 who asked questions. And I haven't heard from Carol or Jennifer or Sally or Jen.
Here, I'm here. This is Sally. I'm here. It's been all good.
And Terry. So if you have questions, you know, I'm willing to listen to them now. And if we get cut off, feel free to send me an email, and I'll do my best to respond.
And there may be a few other people that came in late. We heard some beeps.
Oh, okay.
Sharon, this is Jen.
Hi, Jen.
I have been really good over the last 20 years in building this fabulous finance accounting geek network.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been really supportive and helpful, and we've, you know, it's been reciprocal and everything's been great. But I'm at the point now where I'm thinking of making a major shift in my career field, and I find that my mentors are very sympathetic and supportive, but they don't have resources in that arena.
Right, you need new mentors.
I need new mentors, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm just struggling with it. Literally, do I just cold call? Do I just, like... take out the yellow pages, or are there better, more efficient ways of doing that?
Depends what your move is that you're doing. And, like, you basically need to craft a plan to figure out, like, how you go get what it is that you need. And you can cold call people, but, like, making the change of what it is you're doing, and I don't know what your change is going to be, and later on you might be able to tell me about that. You may want to look at, well, what do you need? What kind of people do you need to have around you to be able to make that move? And that goes back to propellers. So who are the role models, who are your mentors there, who's the hubs, who's the challenges, who's the guides, and how do you get that network around you, and maybe even create the board of advisors.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep going to the people that you have been going to for 20 years, you'll have the maintainers. You'll have the same of what you've always had. It's pretty good, but you might want to get to that next level, so you have to do something different.
It's just something so different that, you know, and it's something that I've kind of come to internally as opposed to seeing a role model.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the struggle, is it's, you know, what I need to do is find out what education and what training I need to be successful in this arena, and I don't want to make that decision in a vacuum because I'll be wasting my time. I could, you know,
mm-hmm.
take a 3-year master's in something and come out the other end and have somebody say, oh, no, you should have done this instead, so that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, go create the propellers for yourself, and then go create your board of advisors.
Okay.
And the
right,
other thing is...
My name is Bill. I didn't introduce myself because I came in late. But I just wanted to mention one thing. There's a great networking group that's part of the New England Networkers and Networking LinkedIn group,
mm-hmm.
that meets the fourth Monday of each month.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to numerous networking events, and And this one is exceptional. And everybody there is tuned into networking and exchanging business cards and contacts and so forth.
Where do
they usually have about 200 people.
Do you have a link for them or any kind of contact information?
Yes. I mean, well, the simplest thing to do is go on LinkedIn and look for that subgroup, but if there's somebody I can send email information to, I
can do that. Send it to Joan Ross at joanross.com, and I'll send it, make sure it gets to everybody.
What's your email?
Joan at joanross.com.
At joanross.com?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right.
And we'll have that, we'll just send it to everybody that's on the call.
Okay.
And
yeah, I mean, some of the networking events or things that people go to, and I agree that you should get face-to-face with people as well as work on the Internet, really are not very effective because they're part of an overall program of presentations and so forth that pretty much take over everything, and the networking aspect is pretty minimal. So it's hard to find good networking events like this one.
No, thank you, Bill.
Okay.
Any other questions for Sharon? Well, Sharon, I think this has been great. I've learned stuff, and I know other people have too.
Thank you.
I find it very interesting at this format. I thought, oh my gosh, conference calls are always very interesting, but I'm the person who's done all the talking in this one, so I hope I've added value to you, and you have my email. If there's anything I can do to help you, send me an email, and I will help you in any way I can. If I can't help you, I'll tell you I can't help you, but I wish you the best. And we're at a really critical time right now. More than ever, we need people to be out in the community, and we need people out in the political community, and we need people who've had years of experience, and it sounds like from listening to a lot of you, you have the experience and you have the critical thinking and the good judgment. So you really owe it to the community that you participate in to look at what you can contribute and how you can use those skills. For us who have worked at Digital for a long time, we were really privileged. Digital was an environment that had raw IQ. And if you raised your hand and said, I want to do this, you were absolutely able to go off and do things. And I had a wonderful career there. When I think about other organizations that I've been in, the organizations are good organizations, but they're not the organizations where it's that entrepreneurial. It's more of, this is what you need to do, sit in the room and shoot the red flies, and that's what your role is. In Digital, it was more expansive. Why that's important is because those are great transferable skills. And those skills might be more of leadership within the community so that we're creating the change that has fiscal responsibility and looks at what we're creating for the future rather than just abdicating it for other people. The other thing that I would encourage you to do is go back to school. If you hit 60 years old in Massachusetts, you can get a free MBA. So UMass, you can go into different courses. You can, in the state schools, you can have free degree. And go and explore that and look at like what that those opportunities might be for yourself.
How about law school, Sharon?
I don't know if you can do free law school, and I don't know what you might want to do with a law degree, but like you probably could go and explore that. I don't know of law school. I know of MBA school, but you could go and do that. Talk to a couple of people who've done that before you go and do that, so that you know what any degree would do for you. I lean towards business because you can always go and create a business for yourself under a capitalistic society and feed yourself and you know, build your own financial autonomy. So I don't know the answer to that. You may want to call up some of the schools or do some of the research on that. But get out, go do a course. You know, always be the lifelong learner. Meet new people. Meet people of different age groups and have that open-mindedness. And if you do have degrees that you can teach, go to the local community colleges and start teaching, because that's the excitement that's happening right now in the community. People are looking at the community colleges increasing. 3 out of 4 high school graduates this year will go on to college. And there's an opportunity to go into the classroom and share the wealth of knowledge that you have. but look forward, don't look backwards, never look back, and look at what are the things that you want to experience for yourself, and what is it that you can go and contribute and have fun and be creative with it. So I wish you the best.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, John. Bye.